Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel lesson from St. Mark. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus our Savior. In the economy of the world, people count greatness in terms of those who rule or have authority over others. In the economy of the kingdom of God, our Lord God counts greatness in service. Earlier in our service, we were witness to that great, humble service. And, God willing, a little bit later in the service, we'll be witness to it again. Actually, we're witness to it throughout. Earlier, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great and eternal God, humbly served little Austin Jacob by coming into his heart through holy baptism by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus served little Austin that way because many, many years ago, the Son of God served this little sinner by coming into the world and becoming a human being and offering his life on the cross. So today we could give the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to that child. Our Lord Jesus serves us through the preaching of his word. And that's one of the reasons we sang a hymn for ministry this morning, that those who are the called public servants of God's word in the church today would remain humble and not become manservers or think that we rule over people or have some kind of authority over them. A little bit later, our mighty Lord God will serve our most senior member, Dr. Dyke, and will serve all of us who come to the Lord's table by giving us his true body and blood in the sacrament to forgive our sins and to strengthen our faith. Imagine that great humble service that the Lord God renders to us poor sinners. But we have the example of that and the leader of that and the motivation for that in our Lord Jesus himself. In fact, when two of Jesus' disciples came to him asking for some positions of authority when Jesus came into his glory, Jesus taught them a lesson about humble service. Because he would do just the opposite, wouldn't he? Jesus never sought greatness among men. Jesus never sought some kind of earthly authority or rule over people. In fact, he did just the opposite. Soon, he would go to Jerusalem. He would be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He would be nailed to a cross and bleed and die as the world's substitute under sin. This is the Son of Man's perfect service to God. He goes to ransom us from our sins, and his ransom inspires in us the greatness of humble service. Jesus had just been very specific, in fact, for the third time with his disciples, about the fact that he had to go to Jerusalem and to suffer and to die as the Savior of the world. There he would be the ransom for the sins of the world. The Son of God became the Son of Man to enter his glory. Now, two of Jesus' disciples, James, who incidentally, his Greek name is Jacob, the middle name of our baptism little boy this morning. But James and John, thinking about that glory that Jesus was going to receive, came to him with a question. And we'll paraphrase that question. Jesus, we really want you to do what we're about to ask you to do. We want you to do something for us. Jesus, always patient, always loving, told them to go ahead and ask whatever they wanted. Later, he would have to tell them that they didn't know what they were asking, but he told them to ask nonetheless. And so they said, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." Jesus would complete his work that would lead to his glory. But those disciples did not really understand how Jesus would do that. He would do that he would tell them, he would achieve that glory by drinking the cup of suffering and by undergoing what the Bible and the church call his baptism of blood on the cross. But Jesus, when he said that you're going to have to do that, they said, "We can do that." And again, they didn't know what they were saying. So Jesus told them, "You're right, you will. You both, along with the other disciples, are going to suffer and drink that cup of suffering. You're going to suffer that baptism of blood." As it turned out, James would become the first martyr among the 12. And John, though he would not be martyred in the sense that he was killed, he was exiled and had to endure great persecution because of his faithfulness to Christ. But Jesus reminded them that greatness is not in ruling over others or having authority over others, but serving, and they were to look at him as the example. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ offered his life on the cross as a ransom. It's the price that was paid by a general for the release of his army that had been captured by the enemy. It was a price that someone would pay for the release of slaves. Jesus Christ paid the ransom that freed us from the power and guilt of our sins, from death being the end of this life as the beginning of eternal separation from God in hell. Our Lord set us free from the power of the devil so that we can say no to the temptations he brings against us to sin. And the ransom that Jesus paid wasn't gold or silver, but it was his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death on the cross. That ransom Jesus paid to God, because it is God whom we offend with our sins. It is God's holiness and righteousness that we offend by our daily disobedience of his holy will, revealed in the Ten Commandments. That ransom Jesus paid, the full price of our sin and our guilt for many. And many here doesn't mean some and not others. It means that the total number of people for whom Jesus did this is many, because it's the whole world. It's for you, and it's for me that Jesus paid that ransom. You and I do not need and cannot make any sacrifice to God that would pay for a single sin, because the full price has been paid. Jesus did it all for us. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing left for us to do. Jesus has done it all for us and for the rest of the world. This is the Son of Man's perfect service to God. And it is the model and the motivation and the power for the greatness of humble service that we render to others. Our motivation to not seek or need to be great among men, to have others bow down to us or worship us, or to think that we somehow have more power with God than they do, or that we're somehow closer to God than they are. There is none of that. Because we don't need that. We don't want that. Because we realize that that's not really greatness. That's not really service to God. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He has called us to be His children, not to be served, but to serve one another. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had requested, they became, NIV says, indignant. I like the word vexed. It really vexed them that those two other disciples would do that. Now, they weren't vexed because they were so altruistic that they thought that that was terrible, what those two disciples had done. It was really more, we should have thought of that. Who do they think they are going to God, to Jesus, asking for positions of power when He comes into His glory? We want those positions of power too, not just them. And we see that because Jesus gathers all 12 of them to Himself for a lesson, to teach them something about the greatness of humble service. And so He gathered His disciples next to Him and uses that comparison. In the world of the Gentiles, in the world of earthly kings and power, greatness is counted as having authority of ruling over others. But in the kingdom of God, greatness is in giving of yourself, in sacrificing yourself, of not expecting anything in return for what you do. And so Jesus told them, in the kingdom, whoever of you wants to be great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. And then Jesus pointed Himself out as the model and the motivation for that. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus' service to Austin this morning, and to Dr. Dyke, and to all of us as His children, to all of us as sinners, is a great humble service of the Son of God to be our Savior from sin. And in that humble service that He has had for us, it is our greatness to serve one another in the priesthood of all believers. And again, that hymn we sang as our sermon hymn is a hymn that applies most of all to the public ministry. But it applies really to all of us as priests, universal priests of God who have direct access to the Father. And as the Father comes directly to us through Christ, that we render humble service, that we don't begin to take pride in ourselves or begin to count the greatness for ourselves, but always because we are serving our Lord Jesus and serving one another. How do we do that? Well, we pray for one another. This morning, all of you promised that you would do whatever you could in whatever perhaps limited way to help out so that Austin remains in his baptismal grace to his death. We help each other out in humble service as we support the public ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place. As we not only pray for each other, but worship together to encourage one another. As we mourn with one another, as today we rejoice with one another on special occasions. As we have the opportunity, we feed the hungry and clothe the naked and give a drink of water to the thirsty. We visit those who are in prison and we visit and comfort those who are sick. But most of all, in humble service, we forgive each other, just as God has in Christ forgiven us. Did you ever think of that as a humble service, to forgive somebody when they have sinned against you? But isn't the opposite pride? Isn't the opposite self-glorification? Isn't the opposite of saying, I think I'm too good to forgive you? There is no greater humble service that we render to one another than when one of us has sinned against the other, that we go to that person confessing that sin, and then the humble service where we say, I forgive you what you did. And I'm not going to keep a record of that sin that you have done. When you and I are tempted to seek greatness, and we will, as if we somehow deserved it in the kingdom of God, then we listen to the gospel. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We cannot give our lives, our efforts, our actions as a ransom for our sin, nor do we need to. Jesus has done that. But instead, we render our humble service to one another inspired, motivated by Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Jesus, this morning we would like to ask you to do something for us. And we know what we're asking. Make us humble. Make us always trust in your humble service on the cross, so that we might be great in the kingdom of God, not by having authority over others, but through a willingness to be a servant and a slave to all. Amen.